The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Mark Graham Ministries.
Equipping the church with the Word of God. Come see us at the Word.
We've diluted the gospel. We've diluted grace. We've diluted mercy. We've diluted love. Why? Because, well, we're going to give what we're going to give. Why we always got to put a but on grace, mercy, and love? Why there always got to be a but involved? But, you know, the grace of God can cover anything, but there's no but in the Bible. The love of God doesn't require any buts. The mercy of God has no buts. Matter of fact, here's what he said. Sin shall have no dominion over you. For you are under grace. There's no but. There's no but. What happens when we say but? We dilute it. Well, I'm believing for healing, but the doctor said, hold on, the doctor's not the healer. I mean, if it wasn't for the doctor, my brother would not be here right now. But hold on, we're after something that the doctor cannot give. We're not satisfied with just what Dr. Yakovich can do. I can't say his name, it's way out there. It's worse than the Malachites. I mean, it's out there. I can't even say it. But we're after what only Dr. Jesus can produce. Now, look here. I'm not diluting it by adding my buts, my stipulations. Oh, my goodness. Stipulations. How I want it done. I'm not giving him a blueprint of how I want him to perform it in my life. I'm totally surrendered to him. I've beheld the beauty of your wholeness. You are able. He is able. I mean, I'm asking you today to remove the but and to replace it with he is able. Thank you, Tamika. He is able. She was emphasizing the is. He is able. Why? What are we saying? That it's not just, well, I'm struggling and I'm believing. I said this with somebody yesterday. We make the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God a hard thing only when our flesh wants to not conform and walk in obedience to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the plan of God for your life is not a hard thing. You say, well, you don't know what I've went through. I don't have to know what you went through. And that's not being uncompassionate. That's saying every single person in this building, no matter how old or young they are, have went through something. Oh, my goodness. What does that say? It is only when your flesh wants to dictate. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It is only when your flesh wants to struggle against obedience to his word that you find the will of God to be a hard thing. I'm watching here in our church. Some of you have no clue. But here in our church, writers. Somebody say writers. No, authors. That's a better way to say it. Authors are breaking out all over our church. People are coming up to me, Pastor, I've been working on my book. I said to someone yesterday, they said, you know, I've been working on my book and I hope to be done. And I didn't, my response was not, well, you know, keep on working. It may take two or three times. And I was like, praise God. We're working on getting our own publishing company. We already found a company that will make the books, print the books. I'm not talking about some you know, look like we did it in the office with a little binder like a partner's manual. I'm talking about these books will look like they came straight from Mardell's. Why would you tell somebody that? You're just building their hopes. Praise God, I'm building their hopes. Why? Because I'm tired of the body of Christ looking at people that have dreams, looking at people that have desires, looking at people that have purpose, people that are trying to walk in the will of God and diluting it with their butts. He is able. I say, He is able. I say, He is able. And you say, well, I can't see it. If you will behold the beauty of His wholeness. I should have preached that all by itself today. If you would just behold the beauty of His wholeness, while we look not at the things that are temporal or temporary, but we cast our eyes on the things that are eternal. Are you hearing me right now? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Well, I need a lot of money for this thing that I'm doing. He is able. I'm needing Jesus to show up in my house. He is able. I'm needing a way to be made in the wilderness and water in the desert. He is able. I'm needing a way to be made in that mountain area. He is able. My children, I don't even need to know what your children are doing. He is able. Oh my goodness. I don't even need you to have to give all your laundry list. Just know this, He is able. It's one thing for me to say it to you, that's information. It becomes revelation when the light comes on. And you behold the beauty of His holiness, His wholeness. In Him, there is no shadow of turning. He ain't giving up. Sydney, love never fades. It never runs out. It never what? Your love never fails. Never. Never runs out. Never gives up on me. Your love. This is a song. It's just a song. Nathan recorded it, and he was like, Dad, come here. You got to hear this. And I just heard it and looked at the words and was like, I'm singing it. And I'm singing it in there crying. I get to this one part that says, and on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never have to be afraid. One thing remains, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. You know that song. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. That's the remix. Y'all don't know that one. How can I say that and mean it? Because I beheld the beauty. Oh my God, I got to move on, man. I got a lot to go to somewhere today. When true heart-filled, heartfelt worship takes place, it lets off a fragrance that attracts the Spirit of God. God is not looking for protocol at worship. He's looking for worshipers whose heart desire His presence. Are you in here with me right now? Let me go to something here. John 8 and 32. John 8 and 32. When you get there, shout, I'm there. That's like six people. Hold on. Let's get over there. Boy, somebody say, thank you, Lord, for them screens going to be back up. I love those things. I'm not ever speaking about them ever again. I love them. John 8 and 32. Let's all read on the same time. One, two, three, read. Hold on. I'm a musician. We got to be in time. I gave you the tempo. Let's all do it. One, two, three, read. You shall. Tell your neighbor the truth will make you free. Come on, tell somebody else on the other side. You have to know the truth. Now look, let me show you something before I break this down. You shall know. We know, and many of you say, well, I know that's elementary, but let me give it anyways. That word know is intimate, intimacy. It also means understanding and knowledge. You shall know. You will have an understanding. You will have a knowledge of the truth. And the truth, what truth? The truth you know. Come on. The truth you're intimate with. Your truth, the truth you have understanding with. The truth you have knowledge with. Let me just back up to Wednesday and repeat something that I was going to have a little short talk with Pastor Carlos the other day. We ended up having like a 3-hour discussion about this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, we must be finished with method equals demonstration. Now listen, don't get all deep on me. Well, Paul said we come with demonstration. Listen to what I'm saying. We must be done with method equals demonstration. We know what? We know how to shout. We know how to dance. We know how to run. We know how to holler and to hoop. We know when to say amen. We know when to be quiet. We know when to say preach on, preacher. We know when to say, good Lord, it's lunchtime. We figured all the things out. Don't look at me. I see many of you look at the clock up there while I'm preaching many times. We figured many things out about God. We have methods that we've constructed, especially those of us that have been in church for a while. We've constructed methods. A certain way I look when I go to church. A certain way I act when I go to church. A certain way I dress. These are my church clothes. And so what has happened is that has happened so much until we moved that over into our music. We moved it into our movies. We moved it over into our plays. We moved it over into our being funny. Moved it over into our jokes. Now everybody going to make little jokes and act like they're preaching. People going to make little jokes, act like they're singing and they're squalling and they're hooping. And what happens is we've created our method so plain until we've lost reality that there is a true Holy Ghost power from God. And the Spirit of God will make you want to shout. It'll make you want to dance. It'll make you want to rejoice. It'll make you leap for joy. It'll make you shout glory to God. It'll make you clap your hands. But that line, because of methods, has been erased until people have lost a grip of what is real and what is not real. They do it both ways. The Holy Spirit said to me, I'm looking for real, authentic that produces manifestations. Not demonstrations, manifestations. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? I even went back and repented over how many times that I have laughed and thought it was funny when I would see somebody acting out in methods. Okay. I watched this play one time and they said, well, we're gonna say grace. And the man got down on one knee and everybody said, we're going to say grace. He said, Lord, I want to thank you for chicken. You've seen this play, I'm sure. And now all of a sudden the method starts. Lord, you gave him two legs and two wings and thank you. We do all these things. Say, well, that's not true. Oh, yes. It happens with white people. It happens with Latino people. It happens with black people. Don't tell me. I've been raised a Pentecostal. So I've sat at Pizza Hut and heard just as many white preachers preaching about how good the pepperoni pizza is. Tonight at Pizza Hut. You say, but I had to repent over that. Because what I realized that line begins to be. And now we've lost grips of reality of what is real and what is demonstration. I sound like we're in hush mode right now, but I'm all right, right? You're still with me, right? And what I'm wanting my own self is real, authentic. Come on now. Real, authentic. Well, you're not as funny as you used to be. If I have to be funny like that, then I won't be funny no more. Because there's plenty of other things that are funny. Come on now, I fell down on the ice, but then after I got up and come back inside the office, I thought if somebody would have saw that, they might have been like, are you okay? Are you all right? And I've been like, yeah. But then when I got inside, I sit down at the desk, and everybody's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah. My sister's like, you think you broke something? I'm like, no, I don't think I broke something. I'm all right. I'm all right. And everybody leaves, and I was like, oh, I bet that looked crazy because I just laid out there going, oh. But I don't have to find myself laughing about the methods of God. Find some humor in something. Okay. Have I lost you? Are you still with me? Somebody say this if you believe in me like I do. I want what is real. I want what is authentic. I want the glory of God to manifest in my life. Do you believe what you just said? Okay, let's, really quick, let's go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I got to read this quickly because I want to get you to a certain part, but I tried to condense it, so, you know, hey, don't get mad because we read the Bible. We just had some of this we just have to read. I mean, we don't have a choice. We just need to read it. We need understanding. It come from reading. So Jesus come to a city. I'm going to start in verse 5. City of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There come a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the sea to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Are you reading what I'm reading? And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. In other words, she is saying, but. The well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Oh my goodness. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Good night. In him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. My God, do you see what I'm trying to show you? It shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have answered well, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you're with is not yours. I'm just paraphrasing. And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me." Oh, my goodness. "Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must," somebody shout must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh my goodness. Please put this in your notes. That word must in the Greek is D-E-I. That word means it is needful. It is right and proper. You have that? It is right and proper. When you get that, say, "I got it." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. It is needful. It is right and proper. Write this down. It is necessary. It is necessary that he is worshiped in what? Spirit and what? And truth. Boy, I want you to put this down in your notes. The word necessary means this: it's unavoidable. They that worship him must. It's unavoidable if you worship him. It must be done in spirit and in truth. It can't be done out of religion. That's just method. Oh my gosh. It can't be done just because everybody in your family's done it that way. It can't be done because you've seen everybody do it like that. It must. It's unavoidable. If you worship him, it must be done in spirit and in truth. But watch this. This is powerful right here. It is that which is determined or produced by previous conditions. That's a lot. I want you to write it all down because my time is winding up, so I got to bring her down. That which is determined or produced by previous conditions. That which is determined or produced by previous conditions. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is necessary that he is worshiped in spirit and in truth. Oh my goodness. It is unavoidable that he is worshiped in spirit and in truth. Previous conditions have determined and produced my worship in spirit and in truth. You say, "What does that mean, Pastor?" It means this: unless you have walked in my shoes, you have no idea what it has took for me to get where I am with God. Golly. Unless you have been through my trial and been through my tribulation and been through my desert and been through my struggle, you have no idea why I'm where I am today. And when I come into his presence and I want to shout and I want to dance and I want to rejoice, it's not something I'm doing in front of you. It's me being at home in my Father's house. Because you're not a real worshiper unless you worship him that way. At your home, at your house, at your job, in your car. In your good times, in your bad times. Come on, you hear me right now. My God. Psalms 103 says this, praise the Lord and let everything that has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Lord. Let me read you one scripture. Let me ask you this. Who in here has a testimony? I've been through some stuff since I've been serving the Lord. No, put your hand. How about this? I've been through some stuff in my life. Life has... Let's go ahead. I love getting revelation from the people that are around me. I do. Today I sat there. Well, I said this. Told you. I'm sitting there watching Yumika serving communion to her little baby. She's how many months is she? 18 months. So here she is. She's getting communion in 18 months. What are you? Well, she don't even know what she's doing. Oh, but she's going to. We're showing her she's going to. Now, then, Sister Linda, God just give her revelation after revelation. She's writing a book on conditions of the heart. And Pastor Carlos comes into my office and starts telling them about how he's talking to some people, and he believed God set up a whole situation to unveil this woman that was hurting. And he was like, it just was from me, from out of nowhere. And I said, oh, that's just what Miss Linda has been teaching about the heart. That lady had been suppressing and it's revelate. We are on a continual education in the body of Christ. So let me help you continue your education. If you've ever been hurt, raise your hand. If you've ever been disappointed, raise your hand. If you've ever had some hard times, some good times. Some of you ain't raising your hand. You've never had good times. We're going to have to pray for you. Who's had good times? Who's had equal bad times? You've had sad times, low times, high times. Money times, no money times, friend times, no friend times, feeling good times, feeling bad times. But look where you are today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that true worshipers are those that take all the situations around them and say, even though this stuff is going on around me, yet will I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. It's looking at the situations around you and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Who in here today feels like you got a reason to give God praise? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I say, who in here believes you got a reason? I want you to take like 10 seconds and tell as many people as you can, I've got a reason to give God praise. I got a reason. Golly, I got a reason. I got a reason to give him praise. I got a reason to lift my voice. Okay, I'm closing. I mean that. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 15. Come on, y'all musicians. Come on up here. Romans chapter 15. I want to wait on you. I want you to start with me at verse 8. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Holy Ghost. When you get to Romans 15 and 8, say, I'm there. Are you ready? It's like there's hardly nobody. Are y'all ready over here? Y'all ready in the middle? Y'all ready over here? Here we go. You can read it with me. I appreciate it. I'm going to read out of the Holy Bible, the King James. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And laud, somebody say that word. Laud him. Say laud him. Tell your neighbor, laud him. Laud him, all ye people. Verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, laud him. Say it again, laud him. The word laud is epanyo, which means to applaud him. All you people, what's he saying? And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and applaud him, all you people. Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. I want to know, is there anybody in here today that trusts that Jesus is the Son of God? In your trusting, you are willing to take just a moment here and say, in spite of what I've went through, in spite of what I came through, in spite of what people have said about me, no matter what accusations have been brought about me, I've made up my mind, I've made up my soul, my spirit has set in motion that I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to leap for joy. He is worthy to be praised. Come on and give him a praise in here with me. Hold on. What I'm asking you simplified is this. If you trust him, respond to me that you trust him by standing up and giving him a praise. 1, 2, 3, praise him. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. You say, why is that important? That is important because unless you today have been born with a Jewish ancestry, you were born as a Gentile. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not just sent to the Jews. He was sent to us too. And I don't know about you, but I trust him. I do. And I believe in him. I do. I believe in him. Believing in him and trusting him is not difficult when you put your flesh to the side. It's what living in the presence is. It's being in your car and he says, go left. Well, you was going to go right, but instead of you arguing, you just say, okay, Lord, I'll go left. Sit down. Where? Just sit down. You just sit down. Living. Walking. Dwelling, remaining, abiding in his presence. I don't want to be a visitor of his presence. Feel like heaven gives me a little my name is tag for my shirt. I want heaven to be very familiar with who I am because I am seated in heavenly places. When I say, Jesus, I want heaven. Oh, shh. That's one of God's children. It can't be that way. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Let me tell you something. As a parent, I've learned my children's cries. No matter how many kids I hear hollering, I've learned my children's cries. I was at the concession stand one day at a football game because somebody had hurt themselves, and I went to get a little bag of ice, and the game was going on. And there's 20 to 30 kids on each side plus the adults. On the field, 11, 22 on the field, plus the refs, plus the coaches. And I hear this. All the way from the concession stand, I knew that cry. It wasn't even a scream. It was just a cry. I knew that. Hold on. Coach Margo, hold on. I need to go back over here. I know that cry. That's my child. Everything else is secondary. That's my child. Woo! And if we being evil respond, that's what Paul's saying. If you being of a lower stature respond that way, how much more does your heavenly Father respond to you? I want to tell you today, good news. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Well, I don't need your buts. I don't need your buts. He loves you. But I don't need your buts.